Turn in God's Word this morning to Galatians chapter 5. Paul's letter to the churches in the region of Galatia. The text is Galatians 5, verses 16 through 18. But we first read the whole chapter. This is the word of the Lord at Galatians chapter 5. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Behold, I, Paul, say unto you, that if ye be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing. For I testify again to every man that is circumcised, that he is a debtor to do the whole law. Christ is become of no effect unto you, whosoever of you are justified by the law. Ye are fallen, ye are severed from grace. For we, through the Spirit, wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. For in Jesus Christ neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love. Ye did run well. Who did hinder you that ye should not obey the truth? This persuasion cometh not of him that calleth you. A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. I have confidence in you through the Lord that ye will be none otherwise minded. But he that troubleth you shall bear his judgment, whosoever he be. And I, brethren, if I yet preach circumcision, why do I yet suffer persecution? Then is the offense of the cross ceased. I would they were even cut off which trouble you. For, brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But if ye bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed one of another. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, they are obvious, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you beforehand, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, kindness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vain glory, provoking one another, envying one another. So far the reading of God's holy word. The text this morning is verses 16 through 18. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, And these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. Beloved congregation in our Lord Jesus Christ, how are you doing? No, really. How are you doing? How is life going for you right now? How is the walk going? You are walking. The passage talks about walking in the Spirit. The passage talks about being led by the Spirit. How is the walking going? Children of God, elect, holy, and beloved, what does your pathway in life look like right now? When the Holy Spirit leads us, He leads us through our own unique circumstances and our own unique trials and joys in life. What does your pathway look like right now? Everyone has their own. Where are you right now? Are you on the mountaintops of faith? Have you just experienced a great victory of faith and witnessed a great demonstration of God's faithfulness towards you? Or are you perhaps in the slough or the marsh of despair? And you are downcast. And you are tired. And you are perhaps perplexed and anxious. Or maybe you are lonely. Or you are joyful. Perhaps you don't feel like you are walking very much at all. You feel at a standstill, and when you look at your prayer life, you see that it's not nearly where you personally know your prayer life needs to be. Beloved, how is the walking going? And how can we serve you and encourage you and help you? Husbands and wives, how is your marriage going? That's a real question that needs to be asked. It's a question you ought to be asking yourself. How is your marriage going? Husbands, are you dwelling with your wife as a man of understanding? Husbands, are you kind to your wife? Are you sensitive to your wife? Are her feelings and emotions precious to you? Husbands, do you take time for your wife to love her, to listen to her, to spend time simply enjoying who she is as a woman after God's own heart? Husbands, are you praying for your wives? Or do you simply take it for granted that your wives will continue to be spiritually strong? Do you listen to your wives when they tell you, or when they try to tell you, that you need to reflect Jesus Christ in this way for them, or in that way for them? Husbands, do you appreciate your wife? And would your wife say the same thing if they were asked, if their husbands are kind and appreciate them? Wives, how is your relationship to your husband? Do you love your husband? Wives, do you show that you love your husband by how you talk to him and by how you honor him? Wives, do you pray for your husband? Wives, are you thankful? Are you thankful? How is the walking going? Parents, how is your family doing? Is there peace in your home? What are your concerns for your children? Where do you feel this battle against the lusts of the flesh in your own home? What sins are you battling against and are you concerned about in your own family? And how are you working to cultivate godliness in your home and in your children? How is the walking going? Young people, how are you doing? You have big things you're dealing with in life right now. School is busy. Your friendships sometimes can be confusing things. With life in general, you maybe feel that the pressure is on. You have big decisions, some of you, that you need to make. You feel the responsibilities of life, and sometimes these responsibilities can be intimidating, and the decisions that you need to be that you need to make are intimidating, and you can feel rather unsure about where the Lord would have you go. Are you able to pray about these things and bring these things before the Lord? And do you pray that the Holy Spirit would lead you in the path that you are to go? Do you pray for specific, unique things in your prayer life each day? Are you thankful for catechism instruction? Beloved congregation, the elders love you. The elders love you with the love of Jesus Christ. The elders care for you. You are the precious flock of Jesus Christ. You are the elect of God, loved by God from before the foundation of the world. How can the elders not love you? Jesus shed his blood for you. That's how much Jesus loves you. And the elders want to love you just the same. To love you like Moses loved you and loved God's people. To love you like Paul loved God's people. We pray that we might have the strength to love you that way. You are our glory and our joy. Yes, the elders have their own occupations. Elders have their own families to take care of. But the elders love this congregation and the elders want to serve you. The elders pray for you continually. And the elders pray for themselves for your sakes. The elders want to be faithful under shepherds. The elders love Jesus Christ and they want to reflect Jesus Christ. And they want you to experience the love of Jesus Christ for you through the elders. And the elders want you to enjoy walking in the liberty wherewith Christ has set you free. The elders want you to abound and rejoice in a life of good works to the glory of your precious Savior. So, child of God, we want to have a holy and free conversation. How is the walking going? That's what family visitation ought to be. That's what we as elders want it to be. And we confess, I confess, we're not perfect. Sometimes we don't ask the question exactly the way you need the question to be asked. Sometimes we don't understand things like maybe we should. We will try. And sometimes the questions we may ask on family visitation seem to come out of nowhere. We don't know how to answer them right away. But I think, and this is my experience, that the questions asked during family visitation are not always answered the best in that hour of family visitation, but afterwards. When husbands and wives, parents and children think about these questions for themselves privately. And maybe the questions we bring up in family visitation will encourage you to pray to the Lord yourselves more fervently and think about these questions more deeply. I can tell you this, some of the questions that my wife and I were asked last year during family visitation made us think. And afterwards, we ourselves had all kinds of discussion about how family visitation went. And the questions that the elders asked were helpful questions for me and for my wife to think about things more deeply. There was self-examination that needed to be carried out. And that's the blessing of family visitation too. So we examine ourselves and we ask the questions that we might not want to ask ourselves ordinarily. When it comes to family visitation, I know what it feels like to be asked a challenging question. And these are the good questions, if we can respond appropriately. The elders don't ask you tough questions in order to put you down. They don't ask you those awkward questions in order to question your Christianity. The elders ask these questions because the elders want to be a blessing. And that's why for family visitation this year, we're going to ask the question, how are you doing? Spiritually, how is the walking going? How can we care for you and encourage you? The text we've chosen for family visitation this year is rather general. It's a text that will easily apply to each of us, no matter what our situation. It's a text that we open up a little bit in the preaching this morning. And the hope is that this text will be so easily understood that we won't have to spend very much time explaining it at family visitation, but we can get right into that question. How is the walking going? We take as our theme, walking in the Spirit. We look at that theme under 3 points. First, the meaning. Second, the struggle. And third, the encouragement. Walking in the Spirit. What does it mean to walk in the Spirit? Well, we can understand what the passage means by looking at where Paul is in the letter to the Galatians. Paul's in the second half of the letter. In the first half of the letter, Paul has explained the glorious truth of justification by faith alone. In the first half of the letter, he's emphasized that a person is not saved on the basis of his own works at all, but he is saved only on the basis of Jesus' perfect keeping of the law. There were those in the churches of Galatia who were teaching heresy. They were teaching the heresy that a man needs to do at least some of his own good works in order to get saved. And specifically, he needed to get circumcised. These heretics were called Judaizers. And Paul forcefully condemns this heresy and emphasizes that those who are saved in Jesus Christ do not have to earn, and they may not attempt to earn, any of their salvation through their own keeping of the law. But the consequence of being justified by faith alone is that God's people, those who have been united to Jesus Christ, who have been regenerated and given the Holy Spirit, they have been set free. They've been set free from the constant cursing of the law, condemning them, and they've been set free from the obligation to keep the law in order to be saved. Jesus has already done it. But that doesn't mean that, therefore, God's people can live any way they please. No, because the very freedom which they have in Jesus Christ is the freedom to walk in obedience to the law as the newborn sons and daughters of God. It's the freedom to walk according to the law, not merely out of a sense of duty and not to earn anything, but out of a sense of true love and thankfulness and joy. It is the freedom to walk according to the law as we live out of the Spirit of Christ and as the Spirit leads us in the path of holiness, walking with God. That's what the last two chapters of Galatians are focused on. And this is what it means to walk in the Spirit. And this is what verse 18 means when it says, "But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law." If you have the Holy Spirit, if you are a Christian united to Jesus Christ and therefore justified in Jesus Christ, you're no longer under the curse of the law, and you are set free from the obligation to keep the law in order to be saved. So what does it mean to walk in the Spirit? Well, we can point out a few things. First, if it helps any, we can put it this way. To walk in the Spirit can also be understood like this. To walk by the Spirit. To walk in the Spirit and to walk by the Spirit mean essentially the same thing. Boys and girls, if you get confused by that language, walking in the Spirit, then think of it this way, walking by the Spirit, walking by the power of the Holy Spirit, walking out of the new man of Jesus Christ, walking as one who has been translated out of the kingdom of darkness and into the kingdom of light. Second, we ought to say this, walking in the Spirit does not refer to some Pentecostal idea of receiving new revelation from the Holy Spirit about how I should live or decisions that I need to make. The Holy Spirit does give us conviction about what we should do and how we should live, but the Holy Spirit works always through His Scriptures. The Holy Spirit wrote the Scriptures as He inspired godly men to write down God's Word. And this Word is His revelation for how we are to think and live our lives. The Scriptures give us clear principles to live from, and the Scriptures are the instrument in the Holy Spirit's hand to lead us in the way we are to go. So the Holy Spirit does lead us. The Holy Spirit does give us conviction about what we should do. But the Holy Spirit always leads us and gives conviction according to what He has revealed in His Word. To walk in the Spirit does not refer to some mystical experience of receiving private revelations from the Holy Spirit. The third, to walk in the Spirit does mean that we walk in conscious and humble dependence upon the Spirit. I don't have any strength of myself. I don't have any spiritual life except what I have by the work of the Holy Spirit in me. Without the Holy Spirit, I am a spiritual paraplegic. I can't walk. I'm a spiritually dead person even before being a paraplegic. But I can't walk. I don't have the ability to walk in God's ways. I don't have the ability to run in the freedom I have in Christ, except as I live out of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. So to walk in the Spirit means that we don't attempt to do things by our own strength, but we look to God's help and God's grace. I don't fall back on my own understanding to cope with life's problems. I do not lean unto my own understanding, but I live out of the new man. I trust in the Lord. I live out of Jesus Christ and by His Spirit. And then fourth, to walk in the Spirit means that the Holy Spirit is not just my strength, but He's also my guide. In verse 18, Paul says, "But if ye be led by the Spirit," to walk in the Spirit means that the Spirit is my guide. He leads me. My new life in Christ can be referred to as a pathway that I am walking. It's a pathway that begins at the time of regeneration, where Jesus puts me on this pathway, and it's a pathway that will end when I die and I am taken to heaven. And on this pathway, the Holy Spirit is my guide and strength. Maybe think of it this way. Think of yourself walking along a dark path in the middle of the night. And there before you is a man, a person, holding a lamp. And if you're going to make it to the end of the path in this darkness of night, what do you need to do? You need to walk with that person who's holding the lamp, and you need to follow the light of the lamp. It's like what Israel went through when she walked through the wilderness wanderings with Moses in the middle of the night. What was leading Israel as she walked in the middle of the night? It wasn't the stars. It was that pillar of fire. In the same way, that's the life of the Christian. The Holy Spirit is our light. He is the man who holds that lamp in front of us. He is our guide. And the lamp He's holding out in front of us is God's Word. And the command God gives us is this: walk by the power of the Holy Spirit and walk where the Holy Spirit leads you, by His Word. And the Holy Spirit, we know, is the one who enlightens our mind. He is the one who illuminates our hearts. He's the one who even makes us spiritually alive in the first place, and He opens our eyes so that we can see the light of God's Word as it truly is. And to walk in the Spirit means that we follow where the Spirit is leading as He leads us through His Scriptures. To walk in the Spirit means then that we walk according to God's Word, we live out of the new man in Christ, and we obey Christ, and we trust Him in all our living. And based on what we've said so far, it is quite clear that the Scriptures play a special role in this. To walk in the Spirit means we take the Scriptures as our guide, and we use them to walk a close spiritual walk with God. And so the question is very relevant. How is your devotional life? You cannot possibly be walking in the Spirit if you are not taking the time to meditate on God's Word and use the Word as your lamp and the light upon your path and commune with God in prayer. How is that walking going? But still, we can ask the question one more time. What does it mean to walk in the Spirit? And we can answer that question this way. It means living our lives in such a way that we bring forth the fruits of the Spirit. And what are the fruits of the Spirit? Well, Paul lists them, the Spirit himself lists them, in verses 22 and 23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. So this is what it means to walk in the Spirit. To walk in such a way that these things are the fruit in my life. And notice love is at the very front of the list. Love is like the heading. It's the foundational fruit of the Spirit. And notice even how verse 22 words it. But the fruit of the Spirit, it doesn't put it in the plural, but the fruits of the Spirit, but the singular, the fruit, because all these qualities go together. Are you walking in love? Are you walking in joy? Are you walking in peace? Are you walking in long-suffering, patience? Are you walking in gentleness, kindness? Are you walking in goodness? Are you walking in faith, trust, confidence? Are you walking in meekness, humility? Are you walking in temperance, self-control? This is what it is. This is what it means to walk in the Spirit. Are you walking in love towards your neighbor, your closest neighbor? I already asked this question. Husbands, are you kind to your wife? Husbands, does your wife, in the new life that she has in Jesus Christ, in who your wife is as a Christian, does your wife exult in the fact that she has you for her husband? Are you gentle towards your wife? Husbands, when you see sometimes how your wife is the weaker vessel and she cries or her feelings are hurt or she feels overwhelmed, how do you react? Do you react by scoffing her, belittling her, making her feel ashamed of who she is as the weaker vessel, telling her to get a grip on things? Or do you react by recognizing that this is exactly part of her beauty, that she is a weaker vessel, and that God has given you to be the man in the relationship to protect her as the weaker vessel, to honor her in her feminine beauty, and to value the fact that her feminine qualities make her exactly the sympathetic and tender woman that your family needs, and that, very frankly, you need as well. As a man. Husbands, are you nurturing your wife's soul? Are you taking the time to dwell with your wife? Does your wife know that you delight to spend one-on-one time with just her? You know what I think? I think Jesus Christ looks forward each week to Sunday. Exactly so that he can spend special time with his bride. Isn't that exactly why he sets Sunday aside as a special day? To spend time with his bride. I could ask myself, I need to ask myself, how can I set apart special times in order to fellowship with my bride? Do you thank your wife that she is pursuing hard after godliness? Do you speak to her words of love and tell her how beautiful and precious she is to you? And do you realize that how you treat your wife is not just going to shape your marriage, but it's going to shape how your children grow up and even what your children look for in a spouse? I suppose my point is, walking in the Spirit starts in the home. It starts in our most intimate and private personal relationships, bringing forth the fruit of the Spirit. Wives, do your husbands know that you are thankful for how they work by the sweat of their brow to provide for you because they love you? Wives, do you encourage your husbands? Wives, when your husband looks at you, does he see a woman pursuing after peace? Wives, when your husband takes the time to reflect on you, can he say gladly, "A man who has found a wife has found a good thing"? Does your husband see you as a woman that fears the Lord? This is what it means to walk in the Spirit, bringing forth the fruit of the Spirit: love, joy, peace. I suppose that even before we think about our relationships with others, we should be thinking about ourselves, our own view of ourselves. Do I love myself? Do I love myself as a saint in Jesus Christ, saved by God's almighty grace? Do I know and take joy in God's love towards me? Do I listen to what His Word has to say about me and who I am in Christ? Do I treat myself with care, knowing that I am the blood-bought possession of Jesus Christ, and that my body and my soul are the temple of the Holy Spirit? There are ways in which the child of God can be tempted to hurt himself. Maybe by drunkenness, maybe by fornication, maybe by gluttony, an unhealthy diet, maybe by unnecessary risk-taking, unprofitable relationships. That's not walking by the Spirit. That's grieving the Spirit. Do I love myself in this holy sense of taking care of myself for Jesus' sake? Do I walk in the Spirit when it comes to how I look at myself? In my dating, am I walking by the Spirit? At work, am I walking in the Spirit? When I go to bed at night and lay my head on my pillow, am I walking in the Spirit? As I am entertained by the television screen, am I walking in the Spirit? What is the atmosphere of my home? Is my home a place where the Holy Spirit delights to dwell? Is my home a place of worship? What does it mean to walk in the Spirit? I suppose the main point is this: it is a life. It is a life of depending on God's grace, pursuing God's will, following where God leads. And it is a life we are commanded to live. Walk in the Spirit. This I say then. Everyone in the church is given this command. Every child of God is given this life. We each have our own unique path, our own unique circumstances in life. And in that circumstances, everyone is given this life of walking in the Spirit. Child of God, how is the walking going? Well, the reason Paul writes this as a command is because of the reality that there is a struggle. And we know that struggle very well. It's the struggle between the Spirit and the flesh. Verse 16 and 17 touch on this. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. And then verse 17. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. The flesh, in this context, the flesh is my old man of sin, my totally depraved nature, totally corrupt, shot through with sin. The Spirit is the Holy Spirit who has made me His temple, His home, who has established His rule of grace, Christ's rule of grace in my heart. The flesh and the Spirit are contrary to each other. Whatever the flesh wants, the Spirit hates. And whatever the Spirit wants, the flesh hates. That's the reality of the antithesis as it plays out within me. My old man against the Holy Spirit against my old man. And here's the issue. Although the Holy Spirit rules in me, and I am a regenerated child of God, and I live out of Jesus Christ, and I belong to Christ, until the very day I die, I will have that old man of sin in me. And that's what creates this warfare. My new man wants to go in this direction. My new man lusts after. My new man pants after the things of God and of Jesus Christ. And my old man wants to go in this direction. My old man lusts after and yearns after the things of sin. And so there's this tension, this conflict. We're pulled in two directions. And we saw already what the fruit of the Spirit is. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. But also in verses 20 and 21, we see what the works of the flesh are. The works of the flesh are, now the works of the flesh are manifest, they are obvious, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lascivious. That's one group of sins. Sexual sins, idolatry, witchcraft, that's another group, false religion. Then this group, hatred, variance, which means contentions, being contentious and arguing, bickering. Emulations, which means arrogance and being proud, so that you're jealous, you want the glory. Wrath, outbursts of wrath, strife, selfish ambitions, seditions or dissensions, divisions in the church, heresies, envyings, murders. That's another group that has to do with hatred in the heart. And then the last group, drunkenness, revelings, and such like sins of partying and living a reckless life. And you can see these two, the flesh and the Spirit, can be easily distinguished from each other. The one is full of kindness, gentleness, self-control, humility. And the other is full of hatred, contention, selfishness, arrogance, and recklessness. In congregation, this is a fierce conflict. If given a chance, the flesh will destroy your life and make you miserable. If given the chance, your own flesh, what is in your own human nature, your own sinful flesh, will chew you up and spew you out. That's exactly what verse 15 says. But if ye bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed one of another. That's what happens when you live out of the flesh. That's what happens in a church. That's what happens in homes and families too. That's what happens in my own personal life when I give myself over to the works of the flesh. This conflict is not only a fierce conflict, it is a daily conflict. And we know how true that is. It's a daily conflict in my own home. It's a daily conflict at work. It's a daily conflict in all my relationships. Everything I do is characterized either by the flesh or by the Spirit. Out of which man am I choosing to live? The old man or the new man? As I turn on Netflix, out of which man am I choosing to live and be entertained? As I go on the internet, as I spend my evenings, out of which man am I living? My old man or my new man? We interact with our spouses, either out of the old man or the new man. We interact with our children, our parents, our brothers and sisters, either out of the old man or the new man. This is a struggle all God's people experience. And truly, we can thank God that there is this struggle, because it is only by God's grace. It is only because of the Holy Spirit in us that we have this struggle. Again, I ask you, how is the walking going? Well, in the text, there is great encouragement to be found, because even as verse 17 outlines this fierce struggle between the flesh and the spirit, we need to notice how verse 17 puts it. It's a struggle, not merely between my old man and my new man, but between my old man and the Holy Spirit Himself. It's a struggle, not first of all between my flesh and my new man, but between my flesh and the Holy Spirit, capital S. Do you see that, congregation? And do you think that your sinful flesh has a chance against the Holy Spirit? Indeed, beloved, we have a command to walk in the Spirit. We are called to press forward in the pursuit of holiness, to work out the salvation which God has worked in us. We are called to cleanse ourselves from all sin, but the struggle is put ultimately in these terms. It's between the flesh and the Holy Spirit Himself, God Almighty. Ultimately, the battle is the Lord's. And ultimately, the victory will be the Lord's too. The struggle belongs to the Spirit. God Himself is on our side. This is exactly why it's so important to walk in the Spirit, because the battle is the Spirit's. Almighty power is on my side. He is the one who created this struggle. He is the one who will see it through to its final victory. As we walk in the Spirit, we find the strength. We find the power to fight against and overcome the lusts of the flesh. What an encouragement. What an encouragement to walk in the Spirit. What an encouragement the whole letter is. We are not under condemnation. You are not under condemnation. There is no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus. In Jesus Christ, you have a perfect righteousness. The law has been perfectly fulfilled and all your sins atoned for in Christ. And in addition, in Jesus Christ, you have almighty power and a perfect guide to walk in the way of freedom. You're not walking in holiness to earn anything. You're walking in holiness because this is the life of freedom Christ has graciously given you. And this is the life you want to live. Indeed, out of the new man, you say, this is the life I must live, and I will live, and I can live, because I have Almighty Spirit, the Almighty Spirit on my side. Congregation, be encouraged. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Beloved, how is the walking going? May family visitation be a time when that question is asked and we can discuss it and be edified and encouraged as we look to God's Word and as Jesus Christ encourages us in walking in the Spirit. Amen. Our Father, the struggle is real. The battle is fierce. Satan, the world, and our own sinful flesh within us would move us to forget who we are in Christ and make us discouraged and downcast and abandon the way of joy and life to walk in sin and darkness, to walk as those who are lost, to pollute ourselves with all kinds of sin. Give us the grace to walk in the Spirit. Give us Thy Word. Bless us in our devotions. Bless us in the preaching each Sunday. Bless us in our marriages and in our families, in the single life and in the midst of the congregation. Bless us through family visitation, we pray, that we might be equipped and encouraged and strengthened and led faithfully to walk more and more in the Spirit. For Jesus' sake, hear us and bless us. Amen.